This is Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers for the program, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, and Jason Croft is at the controls this morning. From time to time on the program, we like to... there's one thing we feel good about encouraging, and that's reading. We believe in books and writers, and we certainly have a lot of them on our program. And occasionally here on the program, we ask folks, and we have a kind of a core group of people that's ever-shifting, and these are people who are, some of them are writers, some of them are people who are in the book-selling business, some of them are just people who just love books. Occasionally we ask them to come into the studio and make some recommendations. So tell us about some things that they have read recently they thought were particularly good, or new books that they thought that they would like to recommend. And the idea is that then folks who are listening can take those recommendations and we hope find some good books for reading or for giving. And we're going to do another one of those books here this morning to give you an opportunity to get some recommendations and also to make some, because if there are people listening who would like to call in and recommend a book, well, you can do that too. We have here in our studio two guests, Carol Spindell. She's a writer and also has taught writing here at the University of Illinois on and off. You're teaching now? Still? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I teach in the Allen Hall program, and I teach in the Campus Honors program, and I teach in the English department. So.
And she's the author of a number of books, including the one that probably a lot of people will know her for, Dancing at Halftime, Sports and the Controversy Over American Indian Mascots. Also here with us is Aaron Geiger. He's the assistant manager at Pages for All Ages Bookstore. He also is the editor of Parkland College's newspaper, The Prospectus. And this is his first time with us, and we appreciate his being here.
Thanks for having me.
So we'll do what we have done before. Both of the guests, Carol and Aaron, have brought in some books that they would like to recommend, and we'll give them a chance to talk about them. And as I said, for folks who are listening, if you would like to do a recommendation, you could do that too. Maybe there was something that you have read recently you thought was particularly good. It need not be a brand new book. It could be something that's been out for a while. We don't have any big rules here. Whatever you want to do is just fine. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free 800-222-9455. Well, thanks very much for being here. We appreciate it. Maybe shall we let the new guy go first?
Okay.
Aaron, what do you got for us?
Well, I brought a wide selection, I think, and that was also recommended by some of the co-workers and staff that we have over at Pages. And start off with some really good gift ideas, because a lot of people have a hard time, you know, where do you find the perfect book? And it's not necessarily the case to find the perfect book, but maybe let people find the good things inside the book. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, what would you like to pick one in particular to talk a little bit about?
Well, I'll start off with before we used to have 1,000 places to see before you die in the world. And not too long ago, they came out with In USA and Canada. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a little bit more, pertains a little bit more towards, you know, our area, because we have a lot in Illinois.
And you can actually, with the entire world, well, with making the frame a little smaller, you can actually imagine going to some of these places. You know, maybe I'm not going to go to Timbuktu, but Canada, okay.
Right.
I can do that.
I want to go to Timbuktu.
Yeah. Well, okay, we can go to Timbuktu.
But the whole world is a little overwhelming. I see what you mean.
Yeah. So this is now, are these sort of conventional places, or are they some of them truly out of the way in remote kind of places?
Well, they have a good mixture. And just to take Illinois, for example, you know, they have a lot of Chicago staples, including Wrigley Field. And it's kind of fun to check them off, especially since you've already been to a few. But you can move into Highland Park and Galena. I don't know how many people have actually been to Galena. Mm-hmm. I've only been here a couple of years, got to go. It was wonderful. Oak Park, Illinois, for the Frank Lloyd Wright Home and Studio, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, I think that this is a great thing, because so often people don't see the sites and the places where they live. They go someplace else and see what are the places there. But it's nice to be reminded of the fact that there are good, interesting places to go that are actually in your backyard, and that you take them for granted maybe because they're so close.
Yes, totally agree with that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think of people like lists too. That idea of checking places off, as you said, I think that's fun. People like that. Although I think it's interesting that in this day and age, it actually says in the title "Before You Die," and I wonder if a book title would have used that in the past. I think that was a bit of a taboo in American marketing to put "Before You Die" on there in the past. And I don't know. I think that's interesting that they're willing to put that right up there these days. And,
yeah.
I mean, it is the reality.
Yeah.
Our time on Earth is limited.
Is there any particular place that you wanted to mention or something that you just think really you look through this book and you thought, this is one of these places that I have not been and I want to make sure that I go?
Well, looking at this, I've been on a couple trips to Chicago. I'm not from the Illinois area, so I was just going to check those off, not even a particular place, but going into music at Grant Park, for instance, that would be something I really want to go see and experience with friends. And it's very accessible. And, and just I've traveled around the states, and it's kind of fun to see what I have missed as opposed to, what I've also seen.
Yeah, okay. So this is just a suggestion of places to go and limited to to Canada and the United States. So
yes, sir.
You might actually manage to get to some of those places. All right. Very good. Well, Carol, give us one from your list.
All right. Well, I have to say before I start that I find this whole thing of giving the gift books, which I have been doing for years, I often give books as gifts, and I don't think it's really that easy, frankly. I find it a little challenging. First of all, you got to think, what would this person like, not what book did I love? And sometimes you don't always know what kind of books people read. I think Aaron's suggestion of something like that is a great solution for a person like that. My other challenge, I have to say, I hate to admit this, but I forget which books I gave in the past. So I think, oh, that person would love da-da-da. But, didn't I give that to them 2 years ago? Well, maybe I didn't. Maybe I just thought about it. I think all my friends and family are too nice to tell me that I'm, giving them the same books all these years. So I have a new resolution for this year, which is I'm going to start a list on my computer, and I am going to write down which books I gave to which people. So that's my big resolution for holiday gift giving this year.
Good plan.
And my first – so I've got people divided into categories. My first book recommendation – I don't have the book here. I gave it away already. But it's for that sports and football fan on your list. And it is so good, I think, just a great read. It's called The Blind Side by Michael Lewis. It's about a family in Memphis, Tennessee, which is my hometown. That was what initially got me interested in it. And they kind of adopt a very poor kid. They're a white evangelical Christian family. They adopt an African-American kid who has a mother but is basically living on his own, kind of in the streets. And they teach him to play football. They manage to get him through high school. He becomes completely and wholly a part of their family, and he's tremendously talented as an athlete and just physically perfectly suited to play football. His name is Michael Orr. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. It tells a lot about football and how football has changed with certain plays. So someone who's really into football, I think, would enjoy that historical discussion. But it's also about race. It's about class. It's about religion. These divisions are very large in Memphis, very deep. And yet this family and this boy managed to bridge them. And it's just a great story. I really recommend it.
Yeah. I think this is one of those books that falls into that category where people say, I'm really not all that interested in sports, but
exactly.
This was a book where sports was an important theme. And you don't need to know anything about football particularly or to consider yourself a football fan to read this book and get a lot.
Absolutely.
Out of it.
It's about family. It's about adoption. It's about so many things. But if you are a serious football fan, there is a serious discussion in it of how football has changed in recent years due to the running of certain kinds of plays. I have to say I didn't wholly understand that part, frankly. But I think that your serious football fan will get a lot out of that part.
Yeah, okay. Let me just, again, mention real quick that this time around here on Focus 580, we're doing one of our book shows where we have guests come in the studio and make recommendations. We think it's always great to have suggestions about books, whether you're thinking about maybe, it is a time of year when some people do exchange gifts, and so maybe you're thinking about that, or maybe you're just simply looking for something good to read. The guests come in, they bring some things to talk about, and people who are listening can do the same. If you want to call in and recommend a book, 333-9455 is the number. Toll free 800-222-9455. We've even, I think on some past shows, we've even in a sense challenged the guests because we've said to listeners, I said, okay, you're looking for a book on a particular subject, a particular kind of book. Maybe particularly the guy here from the bookstore can say, oh yes, I have a book for you. Maybe. You can try that. And certainly you can go to the bookstore and ask that question, or you can go down to the library and ask that question and get some recommendations that way too. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Let me mention too that the books that Aaron and Carol will mention this morning will be on our website. So if you're trying to write down authors and titles, and as long as you have internet access, you don't have to do that. You can go to the web and get them. We have a caller here to talk with. Why don't you, we'll do that and get ready, and here we go, in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a comment and a question about a book that I'm reading right now that I think is terrific for perhaps an intellectual member of the family or friend. And I'd like to find out from your guest whether it's actually getting any currency, because I think it's a great book. The name of it is A Farewell to Alms, and it's by an economist named, I believe his name is Gregory Clark.
Well,
I haven't heard
of it, but it sounds really interesting. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it's about?
The subtitle is a Short Economic History of the World, and it raises the question of why the whole world isn't wealthy as a result of the Industrial Revolution. And like I say, I think it's not a book for light reading unless this is a big problem for you. But the New York Times reviewed it before it was released, and that reviewer thought that it might be the next blockbuster in economics. So I give you the title, and it sounds like neither of you have heard of it, so I may be all alone in reading this book, but perhaps you'll see it in what the sales on it are like.
Well, I'm sure that you're not alone in reading it, I'm sure that probably books about economics are kind of a niche market.
Right. Right.
Aaron, you know anything about this?
Well, I would say I have not heard of the book, but I do regularly take a lot of people back to the business section and economics, and there are some books that just transcend all the boundaries, like Freakonomics was one of them. And
That's right, yeah. And this one is a little more serious than that, but it has some fascinating material on Thomas Malthus and the whole question of why the Industrial Revolution hasn't benefited many more countries than the few that it has. So it's a recommendation, and I'll look forward to hearing more about your discussion.
Great, thanks very much. Okay, well, here the book that the caller is recommending, the title of the book is Farewell to Alms, A-L-M-S, by Gregory Clark. It is published by the Princeton University Press. Came out this past summer. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can head down to the bookstore, and I'm sure that if they don't have it, they can get it for you.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be one of those books that's asking really big questions, kind of like Guns, Germs, and Steel did, which is more geography, but it's also political economy and does that same thing, ask these really big questions. How did this world conquer that world? It could have been the other way around. And So I think those books are fascinating, big thinkers. I look forward to that. That sounds really interesting.
And I'm sure probably it must happen in the book-selling business that occasionally something like that does come along that is a big thinker book, and it does have big ideas, and you might have thought, well, I'm not sure how many people are going to want to read that book because it might be a little challenging, or at least in the sense that you got to pay attention when you're reading it. And there must be examples that come to mind of some kind of book, and maybe Jared Diamond's book is one of them, or the Freakonomics book is another, where you'd say, you know, I was a little bit surprised at just how that particular thing just did take off.
It's like Malcolm
Gladwell.
That guy, man. Malcolm's done very well for himself, and I have talked with him several times, and he's certainly a great interview, and seems to be able to write about things in a way that that grabs people, and probably a lot of social scientists would say, well, we know that stuff all along. Why is this guy getting so much attention? We've written about that in our scholarly journals forever, but somehow he's found a way to tell the story in a way that non-scholars are going to.
Well, he makes the connections. You know, I say to my writing students, this is what writers do as opposed to social scientists or opposed to some other body else. We make connections, and he's very good at making connections. He also has what's called today in publishing a platform, and The New Yorker is the best platform. And pretty much anybody who writes in The New Yorker, their book can do well because, you know, it starts off already so many people have read an excerpt. And that's a very powerful springboard.
Yeah. I have a couple of other callers here. I don't know if real quick we want to get in. You want to, Aaron, mention something else?
Actually, I can move on to the next caller. That's okay.
Okay. Well, then we'll do that. We'll talk next with someone in Moultrie County, line number two, right here. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I read a book called Father Knows Less. You had the author on about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, he was on the Afternoon Magazine with Celeste. Yeah.
Okay. It was about the questions that kids ask, and he had done a tremendous amount of research trying to find out what actually some of these things were that the kids ask, and I found the research almost as interesting as the rest of the book. It was funny, but it was tremendously educational about what kids ask, and you know, it's kind of like the television program, Be the Fifth Grader, or whatever it was for a while it was on. Questions I found were fascinating, and the answers that he came up with were fascinating.
Well, that's a great recommendation. I know that Celeste found it interesting to talk to him. The author's named Wendell Jameson, and this was what, as you say, what he did was he took those kinds of questions that so often and serious questions that children ask their parents about the world, and that rather than making up some goofy answer or just trying to brush the kids off, he said, okay, that is a good question. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and find someone who is a real expert, and I will ask that question, and I will get a real answer. So, one of the questions had something to do with, I remember, something like, why is there war? Something like that. And so he went out and he interviewed a former general apparently gave him actually what he thought was a really nice explanation about why is there war, or if it had something to do with physics. Well, he went out and he found a physicist to...
He never, interview him, but he went to scholars virtually worldwide to get answers to some of the questions. I found it very fascinating. Thank you.
Well, okay. Well, thank you very much for the recommendation. Again, and that's a fun book, and it's one of those books where you can put it on your bedside or you can put it somewhere, and you can just pick it up and you can read a little bit. You could read one, so the kid says, Dad, why is the sky blue? Okay. So he goes out and he talks to somebody about it, why is the sky blue? And you can just read that little bit. And I'm sure that it would be a lot of fun for anybody and for families as well, because I'm sure that moms and dads and adults of all kinds have had to deal with those sort of questions when you think to yourself, well, I don't know.
But why didn't you? That is a really good question.
Yeah, very good. All right, good. All right. And we'll go again here to another listener, someone in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi, I have a couple books to recommend. The first one is 3 Cups of Tea. A friend gave this to me, and I've been fascinated by it, and I've now just bought a whole bunch of copies to give as holiday gifts. So I'm going to include a donation to the Central Asia Institute. It's about a mountain climber who failed to climb the second highest peak in the world, K2. It's in far northern Pakistan. And he was so exhausted and depleted coming down that he gets separated from his group and ends up walking up the wrong valley from a glacier and almost dies. He gets himself, turns around, and stumbles into a remote Pakistani village, and they take him in and rest him up and then send him on. Before that, he says, what can I do to help you? In thank you for being for helping me. And they said, we need a school and we need our girls to go to school. And so he says, I'll do what I can. This is a guy who's a mountain climbing bum. He works in the U.S. to feed his mountain climbing fever by working as an emergency room nurse. And he lives out of a car and a storage shed. So he doesn't have a whole lot of money himself, but he manages in the course of a year to come up with $20,000 to build a school. And the book is about his adventures in through all of this. And what he learned, and it's quite clear that what he is doing is making a difference to the perception of the U.S. As compared to what Muslims are seeing on TV and are hearing about are doing, which they see as disrespecting people, disrespecting women, etc. And I just found the whole thing extremely fascinating. He's also building schools in Afghanistan. So that's one thing. Another book that we're going to be reading this month in a book group I'm in is Women in the Material World. There was a previous book with a similar title where they had families take put all their belongings outside of their home, and then they took a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
As comparison from one culture to the next. And this one is a combination of photographs and text, and it looks really, really fascinating. And then a third set of books I would like to recommend, which are entirely different, have to do with designing our homes so that they don't take up as much space, and yet you spend your money on detail and have your home look interesting. And those are books by Sarah Susanka, and they all have in the title Not So Big House. She came to campus as a guest speaker in the architecture department a couple of years ago, and I thought it was fascinating what she had to say. And a number of her books show different photos of the same space, but she's modified them digitally, so you can see what changing one little thing does to your perception of the space. And we don't spend a whole lot of time in our culture thinking about and helping people think about what is it that makes a space interesting and good looking. So anyway, those are my thoughts.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for the call. Well, I want to get in, Carol, because I see this book that's on the top of your stack. I actually happen to have spoken with this man who wrote this book. Tell us about this.
Okay, well, this fits in nicely with the suggestion of the Not So Big House books, which I also learned a tremendous amount from, the way she digitally alters the photos. I have to second that, because I could not have grasped those ideas if I had not been able to see the with and without photos, and they're just very interesting. And I think it's not only details, too. It's like larger ideas of what really makes a house a home. And maybe we're missing some of these things with our huge houses. But this book is the one I brought for the green person on your list, the person who's saying we should have, like, recycled stockings and we shouldn't give any presents this year and we should, you know, whatever. Okay, well, we've got a gift for that person, and I'm sympathetic to that person. This is called Cradle to Cradle, Remaking the Way We Make Things. And it's by William McDonough and Michael Brongart. And William McDonough, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, I hope so, is an architect, an American architect. And Michael Brongart is a German chemist, and they're partners, and they work together. So they look at, he points out that when you buy something, like you buy a computer or you buy a chair, you get a lot of things that you don't want. You get toxic chemicals and off-gassing and all kind of things that you didn't really realize you were buying and you didn't really want when you bought those things. And he says it's a design issue. This is bad design. You shouldn't have to get all this other stuff that you don't want. And then, of course, we're all stuck with all this stuff, as the Material World Atlas really points out well, as another favorite of mine. And I think a great gift for, like, a middle school age kid or something, too, that one that the last caller mentioned. I like things that make things visual, make their points visually. The other very cool thing about this book, it's put out by North Point Press, which is a very good, quite literary little press, a division of Farrar, Straus & Giroux these days, is that it's made out of plastic that could be recycled. So your green person in your family will think this is very cool. When you just see it, our listeners can't see it. It looks like a regular paperback book. It looks very nice. But when you pick it up, it's about twice as heavy as a regular mm-hmm. book. You can feel the plastic. You can read it in the bathtub. You can read it at the beach. the pages are waterproof. You can spill tea on it. It wipes off. I have. My students asked me, can you read it in the shower? I said, well, I don't really think I want to read in the shower. So I don't know if you can read it in the shower, but they're good question askers. It is cool. And when I showed this to a young guest at my house Thanksgiving who was doing a senior thesis on how to build a green roof, he said, oh, now that's cool. You have that book? Oh, I'd like to see that. And he thought it was very cool. So there's the Cradle to Cradle. I recommend it.
Yeah. Okay, great.
I just wanted to touch back on the first book that the last caller recommended, and that was Three Cups of Tea.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of demonstrated a newer trend that people are demonstrating inside the bookstores, and that's not necessarily are people getting tired of the war, but they're looking for redemption and these types of wonderful issues that bring up, you know, poignancy and kind of just wonderful ideas. And you'll see those in books like Reading Lolita in Tehran and The Bookseller of Kabul. And then you have Khaled Hosseini's, you know, Thousand Splendid Sons and Kite Runner.
Mm.
And people are tending to envelop themselves more towards those types of books.
Yeah. So do you find that when there is something, we become consumed with some particular part of the world, that people do really want to try to understand that place better, and so they do go in and they want, now they no doubt they want books about Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and places like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just something that you'll see even in the political science, whereas, you know, why are we doing this, or this is why we're doing this? You'll see all sides of the field, but sneaking in there are some really nice works of literature and nonfiction that you can find that just gives a new twist in attitude. So there's like really a beauty to these locales and the people and the cultures, and that we tend to miss when we're just watching like the mainstream media.
Right. Well, we're a little bit past our midpoint here. We got a caller who's been a patient, and I will get right to them. I just want to introduce again our guest. Aaron Geiger is assistant manager at Pages for All Ages Bookstore. He's also the editor of the Parkland College newspaper, The Prospectus. Carol Spindell is a writer and teaches writing at the University of Illinois. And this is one of those shows we do every once in a while where we have guests come in and talk about books just to make recommendations. The hope is that folks who are listening will perhaps hear a title, an author, a subject, and will say, well, that sounds pretty good. I would read that book, or I would give that book to somebody else. I've gotten good recommendations, and a lot of people I know have told me they've enjoyed hearing these programs. The titles that we're talking about, they will be on our website. So if you'd like to get them, go to will.illinois.edu and go to Focus 580, and they'll be there. Let's see what we're going to do here. We're going to talk to somebody else. And Nioga, line number 4, the toll-free line. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm quite excited about this book that it's called Happier by Tal Ben Shahar. He's a professor out of Harvard. And on the front of the book, it mentions that this is the most popular course at Harvard today, which kind of got me interested in this. But It has to do with the concept of happiness and how we attain happiness. And he basically describes people in three categories. People that are constantly refers to like a rat racer, a hedonist, or a nihilist. The rat racer meaning that he's going to be happy in the future as long as he attains his goals. And the hedonist is, of course, finding pleasure on everything on a daily basis, but does not get lasting fulfillment. And the nihilist just completely has given up on happiness. But what he basically says is to attain happiness, he says that we must have a certain amount of pleasure and meaning in the activity, a meaningful activity that will... We find that this is very important in life, that to give contentment. And he actually brings out a scale that you can evaluate what, you know, turns you on, but also what is meaningful, and rank these things so that you can focus your life into meaningful, pleasurable activities in a combination. Have you heard of this book?
I'm not familiar with the book.
I have seen it, and we have sold it, but I haven't picked it up and really given it a good look, which sounds really intriguing to me, too, because I'm really a digester of nonfiction these days, especially. So I'll definitely take that recommendation.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
The basic premise of the book is if you don't have meaning in your activity, you're not going to get long-term contentment and fulfillment. So you have to have something that really... that you're excited about, you have a passion for, but also you believe that it's a meaningful activity And if you do these things and you discover what these things are, then your life will be a lot happier. I wouldn't say the word happier, but perhaps they'll be much more contentful mm-hmm. and fulfilling. But and it uses a lot of scientific investigations, and uses it isn't just a philosophical approach, but he's based this on with data that has been evaluated by many other sources. So I'd highly recommend the book, and I think that people will have a different perspective on the difference between happiness and pleasure.
Great. Thanks. Well, thanks for the recommendation. Excuse me again. This, the book that the caller is talking about, the title of the book is Happier. The subtitle is Learn the Secrets to Daily Joy and Lasting Fulfillment. And the author is Tal Ben-Shahar, and that's hyphenated. So B-E-N hyphen S-H-A-H-A-R. And it's published by McGraw-Hill and just came out in May. So presumably that is still a hardcover. That's the way you're going to do it. But I'm sure you could get it, or you could find it at the library. Great. Well, again, I appreciate the recommendation of the caller. 333-9455 is the number here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455 if somebody wants to call in and make a recommendation. And here our guests are Carol Spindell and Aaron Geiger. Where did we leave off? Who shall I go to?
Well, I talked about the Green Book.
The Green Book.
Cradle to Cradle.
Well, let's go back here to Aaron. Give me another book that you really are excited about.
I have to give a personal favorite because the title of the book is called The World Without Us by Alan Weisman. And it intrigued me right from the start when I picked it up because it's a concept of if we were just to not exist as people, what would happen scientifically and just in every minute detail of what would happen to our surroundings in the world without us.
So if there were no human beings on the earth.
Correct. And it doesn't make it like a spiritual thing. It's just hypothetical question mm-hmm. and it kind of gives you a very overwhelming state of impact that we have on our environment and exactly what we, what would happen if we stopped doing some of the things. Some things are important and some are just going to be around a lot longer than we're gone.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that there is increasing interest in books that have one way or another to do with the environment, particularly on human beings and the impact of human activity on the environment?
Yes, I would say that the real question, I guess, is how are they approaching the questions of the environment? Because I think people are really understand that we are making these deep impacts and that we need to make some changes. It's just how do we do that, or where does the responsibility lie? And mm-hmm. there are a lot of good books that are coming out that are kind of pointing that towards that direction, helping us out.
Yeah. I'm just curious, Carol, about how it is you find what you read. Do you just like do you just are one of those people you just go to the bookstore and you just wander around? Are you a review reader?
I subscribe to the New York Times Book Review, and you can subscribe separately to that. I don't really have time to read the Sunday paper every week. So for many, many years, I have subscribed separately to the review. It's mailed to my house once a week, mm-hmm. and I do read it. And so a lot of books I read about in there, they're just out, and they sound interesting, or it's an author I already know and want to see what else they've written. So that is a really important way of finding books for me. I'm always, telling friends about books, and I ask them what they're reading. I am a member of a book club, and we read, 12 books a year. I think all those things. Sometimes I just see a reference to a book somewhere and something else I read, and it sounds interesting, or hear in a discussion.
Okay. Well, you want to give us another one?
Yeah. I want to talk about a series that I don't know if listeners are aware of. It's called the Best American Series, and it's put out by Houghton Mifflin. And it started with essays and short stories. I know I've been reading the Best American Essays for years. It comes out once a year. They call through magazines and all kind of places. And every year, there's a different guest editor. And so the kind of character of the collection changes with the character of the guest editor, which is very interesting. And I just think they're always wonderful. And now this has been so popular that they've expanded. So now I'm going to read you off all the different series there are. There's the Best American Comics. There's the Best American Essays. There's the Best American Mystery Stories. So if you've got a mystery reader on your list. There's the Best American Non-Required Reading. Now, I would describe that as a little bit quirkier nonfiction and very popular with younger readers, I would say. Although anyone with a quirky mind and liking a little bit of the unusual in nonfiction will like it. There's the Best American Science and Nature Writing, the Best American Short Stories. Now, I haven't read this year's short stories, but I would say that they are edited by Stephen King this mm-hmm. year. So I am very curious to see what he chose. I think that's going to be very interesting. There's the Best American Spiritual Writing. There's probably a person on your list who would like that. And the Best American Sports Writing. And the one I am in the middle of, which is just terrific, is the Best American Travel Writing. And so if you have a friend who likes travel, and this year's edition is edited by Susan Orlean, and, of course, the pieces run the gamut, and I have just found every one to be wonderful so far. So I cannot recommend this enough.
Okay. I'm sure the great thing about books like that in that series is that that's a way to perhaps discover writers that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come across the name of somebody and you read their piece and you think, gosh, this is really terrific, then I'm sure that then what people do is then they go out and they look for other things by that same writer.
And I was also curious, where is good travel writing being published? And through reading this book, I found two websites that have terrific travel writing. And they got, so it's also looking at online writing now. It's not just print publications that get considered for inclusion in this. And the two websites that I think are just terrific and have a number of pieces in here are World Hum and Perceptive Traveler. And both of them have wonderful travel writing on them. So I discovered those through this.
Okay. We've got about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. It's one of our book shows where we have guests come to the studio and they make recommendations. Some of the things that they have read themselves or they just come across that they think are good or that you might enjoy. These programs have always gotten good response for people who are listening. At least people have said, well, yeah, I really appreciate the recommendations. Certainly, I've read books that guests here on the show have recommended. And with us today, we have Carol Smidell, who's a writer herself and who teaches writing here at the U of I, and Aaron Geiger. He is the assistant manager at Pages for All Ages Bookstore. He also happens to be the editor of the college newspaper at Parkland, the Prospectus. And people who are listening, if you want to recommend a book, you certainly may. We've had a few. And that number, if you'd like to call, 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Aaron, give us something else.
I have to get into the local authors, I think, because a lot of people don't really understand that there are quite a few that are in Champaign-Urbana, and a lot of times they get to be overlooked. And one thing that stood out to me just recently was a program that we held at the store, and it really, you know, kind of inspired me to read this too. And mm-hmm. it's Listen to the Wisest of All by Rita Blockman and Kimberly Morin. And it's basically taking a lot of local people, some of which Carol knows as she was looking at it, and some of our elderly, and they're giving us some really sage advice in here. But it's not just what you would think. It's some really good ideas and advice, and I would have to highly recommend that.
Right. And this is just advice about living and how to approach life and problems and things
it runs,
like that?
It runs the gamut, I would say, and some of it's how to have fun and how to mm-hmm. really enjoy, to live deeply, to, you know, to ignore some of the superficial things around you and to really kind of take it's neat to look at somebody who's taking a look back at things that you can't see.
Yeah. Okay. And again, what's the title?
Listen to the Wisest of All.
All right. Very good.
It's a nice looking book, too, I would just like to say. I think it would make a really nice gift. Just looking at it, I like the way it looks. I like the way it feels in my hands. There's pictures of all the people who give advice. And I'm just looking at this. I'm going to take Aaron's idea, and I'm going to give this as a gift. I think it's perfect.
And are all of the people who are in this book all live in and around Champaign-Urbana?
I don't know that for a fact, but I know that quite a few are from the area.
The authors are
Rita Blockman.
Rita Blockman is definitely local. I have to say, I don't know beyond that.
All right.
Where
good.
The interviewees came from.
Well, we have somebody here who's on a cell phone who's driving, so I want to get to them on our line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
I've got two books that are probably a little bit older. But if people like adventure, survival type of stories, there's one book, I think it's called Endurance. I'm doing this by memory. I think it's Carolyn Alexander, and it's the story of Sir Ernest Shackelford and his story of going to the South
Pole. To the South Pole, yeah.
1914, 1916. It's the most amazing story of survival I've ever read. It's just incredible. I've got a small library myself about that happening. And that's the photographs in it is what make the book, because these are photographs that survived that ordeal down in the Antarctic. And they were taken by Hurley, an Australian, that are just absolutely fantastic, these old plates. So that's a wonderful story. And then when I talk to people about books, the top 10 in my life, and I'm 64 years old, is one I read when I was in the Peace Corps in Central Africa back in the 60s. And it's by Jack London, and it's called The Sea Wolf. And it's a wonderful story of the battle between, with a quotation mark, good and evil philosophy, wonderfully articulated in a wonderful setting on a whaling ship. The power of the brute power, and then the more sophisticated way of looking at life from a philosophical standpoint. Just a wonderful interplay set in a wonderful setting. Are you familiar with that one, Jack London's The Sea Wolf?
Do you know? Yeah, Carol.
I haven't
Carol's
read it
nodding.
In years, but you know, I have to say, I've more recently read the Ernest Shackleton book, and I would really second that. That is a page turner and a psychological, the insight into Shackleton and the way he is such a remarkable leader and helps these men survive, and a beautiful gift book with those old photographs. The Sea Wolf is great, too, and I remember reading it when I was younger, but I think that Ernest Shackleton book people may not be aware of and would also make a wonderful gift. I really can recommend that one highly, as I've read it more recently.
Yeah, and as I've talked to some of my younger generation about The Sea Wolf, and I've gone back and reread it a couple times, and it's remarkable how well it has held up. You know, it's over 100 years old, and it still will grab you. So I recommend that one, too.
Okay, yeah, okay, I'll put that on my list of things to reread, for sure. Thanks.
Great. Well, thanks very much.
Okay.
When we'll go on here. Let's talk with someone now. I'm not quite sure the location here on our toll-free line. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Westphalia, Indiana.
Westphalia, Indiana. Well, great. Well, what would you like to recommend?
1776 by David McCullough.
Mm-hmm.
Any of his books for history buffs. I'm a history buff, and that it's a very easy read, and it gives you a lot of good information. And I also last Christmas got my granddaughter the complete works of C.S. Lewis in a hardbound copies. C.S. Lewis is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Those are wonderful gifts, those hardbound sets. What a lovely gift. I just love giving those, and I know my children like getting them.
Have you seen the new 1776? It's a huge box edition, and it has letters and papers in it, and it's just it's about three or four times the size of the original copy of McCullough's book. Have you seen that?
No, I didn't know it was even out.
It's incredible. You know, they're in the bookstores now. They came out maybe a couple of months ago. But it's just, I mean, the weight of it's like, you know, 10, 15 pounds, I think.
Oh, really?
Might be exaggerating, but it's an incredible book, especially if you read the original. I mean, it has everything there, plus a lot of, it looks like memorabilia, that type of thing.
Oh, that would be great. He did John Adams, too, and that was really good.
There's also another one that came out in paperback, if you're a really real good history buff, I would recommend Blood and Thunder by, I believe it's Hampton Sides.
Yeah.
That's an outstanding book, and it's written incredibly. He writes so well, and it just puts a whole time and place together really well. Kind of like McCullough.
Okay. What was his name?
Hampton Sides.
Hampton Sides?
S-I-D-E-S.
Yeah. I just read an interview with him talking about how you write that kind of page-turner nonfiction and how he got the idea for the book, and it was really interesting. He said that he was at a walk, and he ended up walking beside this guy who had been a survivor and of that death march, and that's as the guy, they walked, and the guy told him the story. He knew. He said, "There's a book here, and I'm going to write this." And
yeah. Well, again, I appreciate the recommendations. There doesn't. It seems like there's no end to interest in the American Revolution, and the lives of those individuals who were the founders. It just it never fails to surprise me, and it has been going on now ever since. Really, I think McCullough was kind of the guy who started this. With I don't know what was the first big biography that he wrote. Was the book about John Adams?
He had John Adams. He also had the Lewis and Clark expedition and Sherman. And
even before that, though, the big biography came out of Jefferson and the controversy about Jefferson. And I don't know, there's always been so much interest in Jefferson. He's such an interesting historical character. Yeah.
But that's we get so many books here because the publishers send us books hoping that we'll have on the authors. And it's just the American Revolution and also the Civil War. There seems to be no end to at least the interests of people writing those books and reading them and publishing them. I keep thinking it's going to run out, but it hasn't yet.
And with World War II books, especially as you know, our veterans are turning into their later years and they want to make these last memoirs for their families and that type of thing.
We have just a couple of minutes left. There, we do have, I think, another caller here, so let's talk to them in Champaign. It's line number one. Hello.
Hi, yes. I have a couple books that I would recommend. One is another history book. It's by Jack Turner. It's called Spice, A History of Temptation. And it's a pretty fascinating look at how the spice trade developed and then the different kinds of, you know, like five major spices, cloves, ginger, those kinds of things, and how those created empires. But it's told from an interesting perspective because it's told from pleasure and desire and the different ways that spices can intoxicate the senses. So it's a pretty novel way of organizing the book. It's not like a chronological history. And the other book I would recommend is by Mark Merlis, I think, M-E-R-L-I-S, and it's called An Arrow's Flight. And it's a retelling of the end of the Trojan War from the perspective that Neoptolemus, the guy who's conquering Troy, right, is a male hustler. So it's a pretty fascinating book. It won the Lambda Literary Award. I don't know if you know about those, but they're great reads.
Okay, well, we will put those on our list of recommendations. To me, I think the first book that you mentioned sounds really interesting. It sounds like the kind of thing we would – I know it was published a couple of years ago, but it sounds like the kind of things that we would have done on this show. I'm kind of surprised it escaped us, but there's only so much time and there are so many books. Mm. Yeah, well, thanks for the recommendation.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We're coming down to the point here. We have a minute or so left. You want to each try and do
one
more?
I'll just throw a couple things out there. I'll just throw them out quickly. If you have you want to just curl up, this is the book I'm going to give myself to read this winter, is the new translation of War and Peace by Pavir and Volshansky.
That should keep you busy for a while.
I won't even know winter's happening. It'll seem warm here compared to Russia. That's my plan. And I have a friend who's reading it, and I keep running into him, and he's just like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. And the other day, he said, I have to slow down now. I'm getting near the end. It's, you know, and I said to him, well, how long is it? And he said, it's 1,200 pages. And he said, yeah. I said, that's kind of a problem, isn't it? And he said, yeah. He said, that is a problem. It's too short. So War and Peace, it's beautiful. It's still in hardback, but a beautiful new translation. And that's what I'm going to read this winter. And then the other one, you haven't read The Golden Compass or the whole trilogy by Philip Pullman, these are wonderful books. And my daughter recommended them to me when she was about 13. She read them. I love them. I can't wait to see how they look on the screen. So if you haven't read The Golden Compass, I really recommend it.
And there's now a new film just out based on this book, extremely popular books. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that a lot of people have already read them, but I'm also guessing that now people, because of that movie, people are going to come in and they're going to want to have copies of The Golden Compass. They're going to want to read the book.
Yes. And there's a lot of Golden Compass. There's a plethora of information about it, including the series itself. So
okay.
You can find those out there.
Well, you want to mention another book or two?
Really quickly, I brought The Daring Book for Girls and The Dangerous Book for Boys. Those are both two different titles, and the reason why I brought them is that I've seen people around 80 years old to 4 years old getting this book or wanting this book. And it kind of goes back to nostalgia for childhood. It's kind of
Now, is this a reprint of an old book, or is it just supposed to look like a reprint of
an old book? It looks vintage, and it originated in the United Kingdom, but it's really taken the United States by storm.
And what's the theme? What's the idea?
It has just probably everything you've ever done as a child, you know, and the girls and boys. I think boys would have like a orienteering and some of history and kind of Boy Scout type things. And same with the girls, from tomboys to hopscotch to, you know.
Okay. And are these things, it's not one of those things like we'd have to say, do not try this at home. This is the idea that it's actually activities that would have been good in 1910 and are still good now?
It's family safe, family friendly.
Okay, good.
I would recommend
that. Well, we're at the point here we're going to have to finish, and I will say once again that if there's something here that we have mentioned in the course of the conversation that sounds interesting and you didn't quite get it, didn't get the title, didn't get the author, if you have internet access, we'll put the list there on our website, and we'll see if I have written down the titles that have come in from the caller, so we'll see if we can get those on there too. So you can go and you can get the information. And of course, in the meantime, if you're looking for a book suggestion, go down to the library, go down to your favorite bookstore, wherever you buy books. They will not be bothered by this question. They like this question. Librarians love this kind of thing. And that's a great source of information. And ask your friends, you know, ask people that you know, well, what have you been reading lately that you think are good? And we'll all be reading all winter long. Mm. Thanks very much. I appreciate your being here. Aaron Geiger, he's assistant manager at Pages for All Ages, and Carol Spindell. She's a writer and also teaches writing at the University of Illinois. Well, thank you both very much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.